Good morning. Great to see you all this morning. Yes, Psalm 145. If you want to turn there, I think this is just a great text for the things that we're going to be sharing together this morning. So let's stand, and I'm just going to read the first five verses to us. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of his mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. Love it. All right, you can be seated. So as Hannah just mentioned, and as we have been mentioning the past few weeks, we wanted to take some time this morning and just kind of update everybody on where we are in regard to our pastoral transition here. We kind of realized, I mean, you know, we're right in the middle of it, so we know where we are, but we realized that there's probably a number of you who have come to the church since we made this announcement back in January 2023. So for those of you that have maybe come since then, perhaps you're not totally up to date on exactly what's happening. So we just thought it would be a good idea to do that this morning. So that's what we're going to do. I'll take the first portion here and just kind of share a little bit about what I'm doing, what Cheryl's doing, what the plan is for us, and then Char's going to share about where we're headed as a church come January. Okay? So back in, this will have been, when it is completed, this will have been a four-year process. So back in January of 2021, Char joined the pastoral staff here, became part of the ministry team, and for that first year, basically just, you know, serving alongside of me and the other team members and, you know, contributing to the ministry in a variety of different ways. 2022 came, and I shared with our board. We have a board of trustees here at Calvary Chapel and have had forever. And I shared with the board the vision that God had put on my heart for the future, and how that vision basically was that, you know, Char would ultimately move into the senior leader role of the church, and the board was 100% supportive of that. So in January 2023, we announced that to you, to the congregation, talked a little bit about that. So here we are. We're just a few months now away from the completion of this four-year period. So when we get to January of 2025, I will be stepping out of the senior pastor role, and Char will be stepping in to that role. Now, what I want to do is just kind of clarify for people what Cheryl and I's role looks like in the future. There's been a little bit of confusion. People have thought, and understandably, maybe, except I said 20 times I'm not retiring, but, you know, people have still somehow thought I'm retiring. So I've even had people in the courtyard come up to me after I've taught and said, so are you retired now? And it's like, well, it doesn't appear that I'm retired yet because I just taught this morning. So wanted to clarify that we are not retiring, but we will be going on a six-month sabbatical beginning this January. Now, just some of you know this, and maybe many of you don't, but Cheryl and I have have been in continuous pastoral ministry for 43 years without, I know, wow, isn't that crazy? Without ever taking any kind of an extended break. And so that is basically what's going to happen coming up this January. Now, sabbatical, some of you might be wondering, you know, what is a sabbatical? I mean, most of you have probably heard of a sabbatical. It comes from the idea of a Sabbath. Of course, Sabbath we find in Scripture. And the idea behind Sabbath is resting. And so our sabbatical, the dictionary definition, interestingly, for sabbatical is a break or change from a normal routine. And so this will be a break and a change from our normal routine. So we our normal routine has been leading this church for the past 25 years. This is incredible. I co-led the church with Pastor Chuck during the last 13 years of his life and ministry, and now I have been leading the church for the past 11 years. So this has been our normal routine. So come January, we're going to step away from any leadership role for 6 months. When we return, it will not be to resume the senior pastor role, but rather to join the ministry team and serving in whatever way is needed. So coming back after the 6 month sabbatical, but in a different role, in a support role for the senior leadership, which will be primarily Char at that point. So my official position upon returning from sabbatical will be pastor emeritus. If you've ever seen that term or heard that term emeritus, it just usually means like the old person around. So so I will be returning as the old pastor. Seriously, emeritus is an honorary title for one who retires yet remains in active service to the ministry. So that's kind of what's happening. We're going to remain active. So the question many people have asked, and a question Cheryl and I are still asking, is what are you going to do for 6 months? So we're trying to figure that out ourselves. But we have some ideas. First of all, we will travel some. Now, some people have thought like, wow, you guys are going to be gone for 6 months? No, we're not going to be gone for 6 months. We have a dog. We have to take care of him. We have a house. You know, we have responsibilities. So, but we will travel some, and we will still be doing ministry, mostly ministry at conferences. You know, we already do that anyway. We speak at a variety of different conferences. So we'll keep up some of that. We'll be going to Europe for a bit. We'll be going, Cheryl has a speaking engagement in New Zealand in the early part of the year, so we'll be going down there. So we'll be doing some of that. Secondly, some of you know, you ladies would know this, you know, Cheryl is an author, she's written several books, and she is in the process, just starting a new book where she's writing with four other women. So there are four different authors of this book. So she's just jumped into that project now. So obviously she's going to continue working on that. We have, for beyond our local church, we have a network of churches called Calvary Global Network, CGN. I will be continuing to oversee that. And we also have Calvary Chapel Bible College, of which I am very much involved in that, and I will continue to remain involved in that. I am currently the chairman of the board of Calvary Chapel. I will remain on the board, but in a slightly different role, but continuing to be a board member. Sunday night, some of you know, tonight we'll be in the fellowship hall for Luke chapter 18, but we do the Back to Basics Live, which is basically me teaching through the New Testament. That's what I'm doing. So trying to figure out exactly how to navigate that during the 6 months, but I want to try to keep that up. And then, of course, some of you know that I'm on the radio regularly with the Pastor's Perspective program, and going to try to see how that works out as well. At probably the top of the list is cleaning my garage. So it'll probably take me all of the sabbatical to to do that. And this is just the bench in my garage. That doesn't take us anywhere even beyond the bench. So we're going to clean the garage, and we're going to come to church. So when we are in town, we will be joining you as congregants, as members of the fellowship, as we just come to be blessed and edified by all that the Lord is doing. So let me just reiterate, we are not retiring. We are moving out of the senior leader roles, and I'm using the we because I'm referring to Cheryl as well. We are moving out of the senior leader roles and believing God has a good plan to bless this church through a new generation of leaders. So this is something that, this is something I believe the Lord is doing. I've spent my entire life as a Christian and a person in ministry trying to best discern what the Lord is saying. And this is what I sense the Lord is saying. When I became the pastor of the church, the sole senior pastor of the church, I was 57 years old. And it didn't take a whole lot of time before I began to realize that the long-term future of the church is not with me at that particular stage or this particular stage in my life. And what I began to really sense from the Lord is that my primary task would be to identify, raise up, and empower the next generation to lead this church. The Lord called me to bridge what has been with what will be. And so I have full confidence that we are going forward in the will of the Lord, and I have full confidence that because we're in the will of the Lord, we're going to do fine. He's going to take care of us. Obviously, we're very thankful that our son, Cheryl and I, are thankful that our son is the one who is becoming the future senior pastor of the church. But he's not becoming the future senior pastor of the church simply because he's our son, because that wouldn't necessarily qualify him. He's becoming the future pastor of the church because God's hand is upon him. And I think that's recognized by all of you as you have been encouraged by his teaching. And this is something that the Lord has been leading. For many, many, many years, I had this thought in the back of my mind, like, this would be the future. But even back then, I never really discussed it with him. We didn't discuss this until I had my 60th birthday. And then a conversation came up sort of randomly. Char said, Dad, what are you going to do? You're going to do what Grandpa did. Now, for those of you that know, Grandpa, Pastor Chuck, he preached till he was 86 years old, and he preached on a Sunday, and he went to be with the Lord the following Wednesday. So he did what he intended to do. He died with his boots on. So that was the question that Char was basically asking me. Dad, are you going to die with your boots on? I hope not. I don't have any boots. So so that's what our conversation began about. What the future might look like. And so a lot of time, a lot of prayer has gone into this. I just want to assure you of that. And I'm super excited about the vision for the future. And so Char's going to take it from this point and share with you about what to expect in January. All right? God bless.
Thanks. Well, good morning, church. thankful just to be able to share with you guys what's coming up for us in January with this transition. I think just as we even hear the word transition, there's just kind of this like big question mark, like, okay, yeah, we just heard what that means for Brian, but what does that mean for us? And so like come January, what's that shoe that's gonna drop? Now, something that has been, I think, just so powerful and very helpful for us as a community is that when Pastor Brian invited me and my family here, and also Pastor Jordan Taylor and his family here, that he has really empowered us to lead in just such a beautiful way. He has allowed us to shape the vision and the culture of this community, and he himself has gotten behind that. And it has just been just such a beautiful picture of what it means for one generation to pass the baton to the other. And so with all that, I want to say in January, our update is that nothing is going to change for this church and the things that we're doing. We will continue to focus on being a local church community that is committed to discipleship in the way of Jesus. We want to be with Jesus. We want to become like him. We want to do what he did. This is the aim of our faith, to be in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to grow as a community who loves one another, who cares and supports one another, an integrating community who brings in new believers and struggling, hurting believers into our community and family here. We want to grow in that way. And of course, we want to expand the horizons of the mission of God. We believe that God has called every single one of us to the people and the place that we currently are to bring just a revelation of the kingdom of God, that God is king, that his kingdom is coming, and that everyone is invited to be a part of that. And so as a local church, that's what we're going to continue to do. So we can just, I hope, take a deep breath. No smoke machines, no neon lights, no mohawks come, you know, January 1st or whatever you might be thinking is going to happen. We're going to continue to do the same things that we've always done as a local church. We're going to get into scripture. We're going to study God's word deeply in order to be formed and shaped by it. So that's what's going to be happening for us as a local church, just leaning into the vision of what we believe God has called us to. Now, in this coming year, January, we are going to start studying the Gospel of Mark together. So those of you who are regularly attending a part of this community here, you know that we've been spending the last year just building out our biblical theology, seeing how the whole story of the Bible fits together and finds its fulfillment and purpose in Jesus Christ. So it's been a wild ride. It's been so much fun. God, I am so excited to just be able to teach a book, let me tell you. I've literally been teaching a whole book on a Sunday, and so I will be very thankful to be able to teach Mark over many Sundays. Now, why are we teaching Mark? Well, one of the reasons that we want to teach through the Gospel of Mark is because Mark is actually written for disciples. It's written, in a sense, almost as like a roadmap for discipleship to Jesus. And we think in a time and an age and a political climate that we're in, where there is a lot of confusion about what's going on in the world, so many opinions about what the church is, what the church is to be about, who we are individually as humans, as Christians, as a local community. We pray that Mark's gospel will serve as a roadmap for us how to follow the way of Jesus, right? Scripture says, your word is a lamp to my feet, it is a light to my path. And we believe by following the way of Jesus, his words, his ways, aligning our lives to him, that you and I, that us as a local community, we will be able to navigate the pitfalls of our culture, and we will be able to live lives of fruitfulness and lives of faithfulness. So this is one of the reasons why we want to lean in to this gospel. We want to lean into our own discipleship in the way of Jesus in order just to fulfill this vision and mission that we believe the Lord has given us to be a Jesus-formed community on mission. So I just want to talk for a minute about what this will look like for us. Like, okay, how is Mark's gospel going to do this for us? Well, you guys okay if I just nerd out for a minute on Mark's gospel? Yeah, okay, cool, because I'm going to do it. So you probably have heard people teach the gospel of Mark, maybe when you first became a Christian, read the gospel of Mark, right? And oftentimes the reason for people saying this is, well, okay, it's the first gospel ever written. And, you know, it's one of those gospels that was written just in an urgency because the gospel was so fresh and so new. The word needed to get out. And so Mark doesn't really give us any frills or any like of the juicy details. It's just like, this is what happened. You know, the word immediately is repeated again and again and again throughout Mark's gospel. And so it's really just fast paced, again, like not the details of John or of Matthew, these things. And it's just intended to get the gospel message out. Guys, the truth is nothing could be further from the truth. In ancient times, and according to the Orthodox Church, Mark is called the herald of heavenly mysteries. Mark's gospel has actually been labeled as apocalyptic literature, because it is a revealing of the true nature of Jesus Christ. And Mark is doing this just in a number of beautiful ways. You guys probably are familiar with, you know, Mark, he starts out his gospel. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He tells us in the beginning who he thinks Jesus is. And then throughout the gospel, there are these revelations, a pulling back of the veil of the true nature of Jesus, whether it's at the baptismal waters, it's on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's Peter's confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is there before Caiaphas, yes, I am who you say I am, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power. Or it's on the lips of the centurion through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, truly this man was the Son of God. There are these times in Mark's gospel where he is just ripping back the veil. See who Jesus truly is. And all the other times in Mark's gospel, he is like leaving these proverbial breadcrumbs. He drops one shoe, but he doesn't drop another. Unlike Matthew, who continually tells us he did this in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Different than John, who is giving us all of these images from the Old Testament, Mark's revelation of Jesus is cryptic. It is mysterious. You have to lean in. You have to be hungry. You have to press in. You have to want it. And Jesus promises to those who press in, to those who are hungry to know the mystery of God revealed in Jesus Christ, to them more will be revealed. And this is what Mark does in his gospel. He wants to draw disciples deep into proximity to Jesus. But the way that he does it is just so strange. Now, how many of you guys are familiar with the story, the parable of the sower? We know this one, right? The sower went out to sow. The sowing is the word of God, and the ground of the different kind of aspects of people's heart. Well, in the context of Mark and the other synoptic gospels, guys, Jesus is sitting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are so thick, they're literally on the water line. And Jesus is in the boat, so he's not crushed by them. He tells this mysterious story about a parable, or excuse me, about the sower. And when he finishes, you know what he does? He says, ship off. We're out. He tells this super weird story that nobody understands, not even his disciples. And he's like, peace out. He doesn't do a Q&A. He doesn't stick around and go, are you confused? Let me try that again. Let me tell you a different parable. Maybe it'll help. He doesn't do any of that. The interesting thing is, as the story continues, the disciples come to him and they say, Lord, what in the world? What is this? And this is what Jesus says, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Those who seek, those who press in, those who will not just dismiss Jesus, what a wild, ridiculous story. What could it mean? Who cares? But to those who will wonder, question, suspend their judgment, come to him with open hands. Oh, to you has been given the honor to hold the mystery of God's restorative work in the world. That is what is waiting for us as disciples of Jesus in the pages of Mark's gospel. To come to Jesus, to press into him, to be in proximity to him. And as we do that, to be pulled into the very heart of God. To be pulled into the very heartbeat of why God has come to rescue and redeem humans. He wants to share that with us. He wants to entrust to us this beautiful mystery. And as we press into him, more will be revealed. And as more is revealed, you guys, we will grow in our awe and wonder and worship and commitment and allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think for many of us as followers of Jesus, those who read scripture, we are in a sense like Job. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But what God wants for us is that our eyes would see him. That we would behold the fullness of him. And scripture says that that is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as we behold that face, we take in the works and ways and words of Jesus. Something powerful and transformative happens to us. Jesus' glory and beauty is transferred to us. And now we behold in our mortal bodies the image of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. We put the life of Jesus on display, his ways, his words, and his works. And so this is the invitation of the Gospel of Mark, to go further up and further in into the revelation of Jesus Christ, to have encounter, to have transformative encounter with the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I am so excited to press in to Jesus with you guys. I am so excited to just see what God is going to do as he transforms our lives individually, as he transforms our lives collectively as a community, as he directs us specifically to the hurting, to the needy, to the lost, to those without home and without place in our own cities, and we see them integrated into the family of God. Amen. So, this really is the invitation for us in Mark's gospel to let it be a guide, to stand before this mystery of God revealed in Jesus Christ, to marinate in it, to mull over the words of Jesus again and again until it clicks. The mystery is revealed. We've just gone further up and a little further in to who Jesus really is. And he has just taken a bit more ground of our lives, transforming us to his image. So in this coming year, as we study Mark's gospel together, I invite you to come on this transformative journey. As we go further up, further in, into the mystery of how in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, God has become king. He has relaunched the restoration of Israel, and he has inaugurated the new creation. Nothing will ever be the same. That's what is waiting for us in January. I'm so very excited. Now, an update Sunday is kind of an awkward thing, right? And I recognize that each one of us come here and we have a variety of needs. Some of you came here with questions this morning. Some of you have come here with heavy news and it's weighing you down. Some of you have come with a burden of guilt, sin, and shame. Some of you have come just to take the next step forward in following Jesus. You've come to learn more, to receive, to grow. You've come to share. There's a variety of reasons why we've come this morning, but ultimately we've come for Jesus because we believe that there is life in his name. We believe, as I said in the beginning, that he is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the life, and that life is found in following him, in making our home in him. And so this morning, as we transition out of this time into our time of worship and communion, I'm reminded of Jesus' words to the crowds. This, again, was a very confusing, offensive message that Jesus gave when he said to the crowds, "Unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood, you have no life. You will actually die in your sin, unless you come to me." And then later, Jesus says this, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood makes their home in me." See, this table of broken bread, of this tiny amount of juice, is an act of remembrance. It's an opportunity to remember who Jesus is, to remember his offer of life, what he gives to those who are broken, what he gives to those who are overcome by guilt and shame, what he gives to the seeker, what he gives to those who want to press in. It's our opportunity to come to him and to make our home in him. It's our opportunity to recalibrate our lives according to his way. And so, church, I invite you, whatever you have come into this gathering with this morning, that you would open up your hands as a posture of releasing that to the Lord, that you would allow him to take it up for you, whether it is the burden of your sin or whether it is a, you know, act of exclamation of thanksgiving, that with open hands you would offer that up to the Lord, allow him to receive it from you, and that you would come to the table and receive Jesus's burden that is easy, that is light, that you would come to this table and that you would learn from his way, his gentleness, his humility, his faithfulness, and yes, that you and I would go away free and that we would go away filled to testify to others. So, church, we invite you this morning to come to the table as we respond in worship to all that the Lord is and all that he has done.